From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made in the disconnection of many relationships. Reuters published a lengthy story about how politics has destroyed friendships and family relationships in the Trump era. Some examples. A lifelong Democrat, Myra Gomez, told her 21-year-old son 5 months ago that she was planning to vote for Donald Trump. He cut her out of his life. Gomez told her son she's a fan of the president's crackdown on immigration, but it wasn't enough to sway him. A September report by the nonpartisan Pew Research Center found that nearly 80% of Trump and Biden supporters said they have few or no friends who support the other candidate. 77-year-old Gail McCormick separated from her husband William, who is 81, after he voted for Trump in 2016. She told Reuters, quote, "I think the legacy of Trump is going to take a long time to recover from." How about this one? 49-year-old Democratic voter Rosanna Guadagno said her brother disowned her after she refused to support Trump 4 years ago. Last year, their mother suffered a stroke, but her brother did not let her know when their mom died 6 months later. Her brother was still angry that she won't vote for Trump. Sarah Guth, 39 years old, a Spanish interpreter from Denver, Colorado, said she has cut several friends out of her life over politics. She could not reconcile herself to their support for issues such as separating immigrant children from parents at the southern border. We are frayed. And I don't know how you're feeling today. I don't feel great. I'm sort of hanging in there. And we're all trying to figure out how to get through the next few hours, how the next few days, next few months, and then how we sort of pick it up and move forward as a country. I want to kind of have an hour where we can talk about this together, how we're feeling emotionally and what we're doing about it. And our guest is Melanie Funches, who is the Director of Community Engagement and Family Support at the Mental Health Association of Rochester. She's a member of the Greater Rochester Black Agenda Group and founder of the Black Healers Network. Melanie, I am always grateful for your time. This time, this is not just a perfunctory question I want to ask you. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah. I'm making it do what it do. I feel like a lot of people. I'm feeling nervous, you know. I tell people, even though I have all the tools and I know all the things to do, I also have feelings of nervousness and anxiety around, you know, around all the feelings that are going on at this time.
Well, listeners, I want to hear from you in various platforms this hour on what you're doing about today, about the next few days, how your relationships are. You know, have you lost relationships over this? What are you doing about that? 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free. 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. 263-9994. Email us, connections@WXXI.org. Can we overload on information? Because for some people, Melanie, you know, sort of constantly refreshing news and social media feeds is a way to sort of try to stay up on the latest, and they feel like they have to. For others, it can be sort of obsessive, and I wonder, I'm sure I'm in that category sometimes. Can we overdo it? And generally, what do you advise people on that?
We can absolutely overdo it. And it's like with anything else, you know, they talk about too much of a good thing, right? We are in an era now where we can have all the information we need at our fingertips, but it's just like, it can be too much. You know, how many times can you read a story? You know, and we talk about how, you know, with the 24-hour news cycle, we hear things. At some point, we need to cut it off, right? Because all it does is that it just keeps our minds reeling, and we keep coming up with different scenarios that can fuel anxiety and stress, which is not healthy.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of different directions to take this hour. I'll take a phone call first, and then we're going to move, and we're going to try to cover a lot of ground as we talk about how our emotions are a bit frayed right now. This is Taylor in Rochester first. Go ahead, Taylor. Taylor, are you there? You might be on mute. I want to make sure you're there.
Can you hear me?
I got you now. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to comment just on, like, how everyone's feeling today. I'm African-American, and my husband is white, and we have been dealing with his family kind of, like, reconciling with the fact that we support and they don't support us. The entire election has just kind of ripped his family apart, and it's been really difficult for him. But we're really scared today. I'm trying not to, like, listen in. Obviously, that's not happening because I'm on the phone right now, but I'm just trying to make sure that I do something to take my mind off of it.
We lost you for a second there, Taylor. Hang there for 1 second. I want to see if we can bring Taylor back in because the phone's sort of been in and out. Are you there, Mel?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so Taylor, please stay there if you can. We'll try to reconnect with you because I want to get a little bit more of the story. But she's saying she's African-American, her husband is white, and things just feel on the family side like she's not supported, that there is all kinds of tension. How often are you hearing stories like that, Melanie? I feel like I'm hearing that all the time now.
I hear it so much. I've heard that marriages that have broken up and, you know, families who have been disjointed over this whole thing. And, you know, I have friends who said, we never had the discussion. You know, there's couples who said, you know, we never had the discussions, you know, biracial couples that they never had the discussions before, and now they're having these deep level discussions, and it's causing, you know, a lot of really hurt feelings, and people are feeling really not supported. They're feeling, you know, they're feeling this unheard, and it's really, people are having a lot of, I hate to say having a lot of feelings, but they're having a lot of feelings about this. And I want people to really understand that we need to have discussions, because we need to not just listen to the things that we are learning that are different about people that we love, but we need to remember the things that we love about the people that we love.
Boy, that I know why at moments that can be hard to focus on. Let me bring Taylor back in and see if we can get more of the story. Taylor, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, yeah. So tell me a little bit more then, if you could, about how you and your husband have sort of navigated that family tension, and then if anything has changed.
So we actually haven't talked to his parents since May. So it's been pretty rough. I think everything kind of dissolved when the Black Lives Matter protests were going on, and it kind of came to a head where we couldn't ignore, you know, we couldn't just kind of like look the other way. It was kind of a serious thing, especially because we're newlyweds, the possibility of having kids, you know, we wanted to make sure we were all on the same page, and it just came out that we definitely weren't. So it's disappointing. I feel bad for my husband. You know, he's really close to his family. And I think right now he's just grappling with them not being who he thought they were.
Is there any hope? You say you haven't spoken since May, but does he have hope of reestablishing at some point, or maybe finding a breakthrough?
I'm not sure. I think right now he's focusing on kind of grappling with the situation on his own. So he has been in therapy to kind of talk about it. Him and his mom probably will have a conversation at some point, but I just don't think he's emotionally ready for it right now.
Did you ever feel fully accepted by his family?
I did, but I think that's part of the problem. I think that they looked at me as an exception, if that makes sense. And so I think once I became more vocal about social justice things, and my husband did as well, they kind of realized that, oh, I wasn't as tolerable, I guess, if you know what I'm trying to say. I'm navigating around a very touchy subject, but I know what you're trying to say. Yes, exactly.
Taylor, will you stay there? I'll let Melanie kind of jump in, and you guys can talk through anything else you want to talk through before we let Taylor go. Go ahead, Melanie.
You know, Taylor, first thing, I want you to hear that you are not alone. I want your husband to hear that he is not alone. And that love has no, you know, love is love.
Yeah.
And you will make it through. Okay. And, you know, I just want you to hear that. And do not overdose on, do not turn on your TV. okay? Okay, or if you turn on the Hallmark Channel. You know, Hallmark Channel started the Christmas movies. Turn on the Hallmark Channel, okay? And because the fact of the matter is that what ends up happening is that people will look at an individual and that individual and not understand that that individual, particularly if, you know, is not part of a collective. And that they'll say that this individual is extraordinary and separate, right? And so over time, the reason that we are able to other is that we don't have relationships.
Right.
The reason we're able to other people, the reason people are able to overcome the cognitive dissonance around separating children from their mothers at the border and all these things is because they don't have relationships with people who look like these people.
Right.
And so as time comes and relationships develop, people tend to broaden their minds and think. So what I'm going to say to you as an individual is to give your husband time to reconcile so that he can find language to talk to his mother and that you all can find language to talk to her so she can start to build relationships and see so that she wants a potential grandchild,
right?
You know, because once you put it into those terms, then it can be something different for her, and that she can, and that she can walk herself up to. You know, for right now, what you need to do and what he needs to do, you both need to guard your peace. Is that helpful?
No, it really is. I appreciate it so much.
Taylor, I'm really grateful that you're sharing the story. I know it's not easy. Last question I have for you is, how are you feeling just about tonight? I mean, what is your emotional state right now when you think about starting to get some results tonight of what happens next?
I'm scared. I feel like I'm both simultaneously hopeful, but also I feel like I've lost hope in the last 4 years. I know when Trump was first elected, the day after, my friends and I, we saw each other and we just started crying. Like, it was a very emotional thing. So, I'm following advice. I'm going to watch Hallmark Channel today and, stay off the news.
Hey, much love to you and your husband. And thank you for sharing your story, Taylor.
Thank you.
And Taylor, I want to offer you as what I'm a guess is a much older black woman. We survived Jim Crow. We survived enslavement. We can survive Trump. Okay?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you,
Taylor.
You're
welcome, sweetie.
Thank you for the phone call. Melanie Funchess is my guest for the hour, who is joining us, who is the Director of Community Engagement and Family Support at the Mental Health Association of Rochester, member of the Greater Rochester Black Agenda Group, founder of the Black Healers Network. And, you know, she'll sort of joke that she's not a therapist, but boy, she's playing the role right now of someone who's helping us just walk through the next few hours and days. And I just want to say again, I'm really grateful to Taylor for just kind of opening up in that way and letting us know about how this is hitting people. I think it's important that we recognize each other's fellow humanity. And Melanie, before I jump to some emails, because I have a lot already, people are really afraid, I want to ask you about a general idea and then we'll get specific with the email. In the last few months, Melanie, I have seen a theme come up a little bit more often about family. And it sounds something like this. I don't remember where I've heard that. I've heard it a bunch. It essentially says, your family are the people who love you and share your values. Your relatives are the ones you are related to. And I understand that point, especially for people who feel either cut out or feel that they've had to cut others out. I want to sort of nostalgically believe that we can find common ground eventually, even if family are on different sides of voting or different sides of values. But I also do understand that eventually, like I get where Taylor and her husband are at. I get why it's like, we're not talking like we're this is humanity. And there are certain lines we have to draw. So I get why certain things happen, certain relationships break down while still hoping that things can be repaired. How do you feel about the idea that some people are concluding that, you know, my family are the people who love me and share my values. Some of them are relatives, some of them are friends, but that's my family. My relatives are relatives. How do you feel about that, Mel?
Well, for me, as someone who has chosen family, and that's the term that I use for that, I have blood relatives, and I'm adopted, so I'm a chosen child. So I have chosen family, and I have blood family. And so I deeply believe that, right? But I also want people to understand that what I don't believe in is I don't believe in people being irredeemable. I don't believe in cancel. You know, I do believe in guarding our peace. There are people who we do not hold the same beliefs and values, but I believe in the constant ability for people to change and evolve. Right? So just because you don't believe this today, we are constantly creatures who are learning, who have the ability to learn and grow and evolve and gain new knowledge. So just because you don't believe this today doesn't mean you won't believe this tomorrow. So if I cancel you, that means that this relationship is never, we can never get that back, even if you gain the new knowledge. So what I may say that we can't vibe together, we can't hang together, but that doesn't mean I don't keep that door open so that if you gain new knowledge that we cannot sit down and break bread together and try to come to a meeting of the mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think an open door is always valuable. And it's easy for me to say. I'm one of the least vulnerable people in this country. But I do appreciate that very much. And let me go ahead and start sorting through some email here, because we've got a lot for...
But the thing is, I want you to understand, and as one of the most vulnerable, as a black woman, you know, as one of the most vulnerable people on the planet, you know, I'm saying this because I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not, if my humanity is the thing that's being debated, you know, I'm not going to debate my humanity with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what I am going to say is when you come to the place that you understand that, you know, that, oh my God, I saw this, I used to see this way, now I've come and I've seen the light, I'm not going to keep you out in the tundra. Once you've seen it, I'm going to bring you back in so that you can gain your knowledge, you can learn more. That's what I'm saying. I just want to make sure I'm clear on that.
Tim in Pittsford writes, Melanie, are we this weak as a country that if our guy loses, we're going into some sort of depression? If Biden loses, then that sucks, but that means we should have done a better job convincing the American people that Biden would be better for the job. Whining and crying about it just makes us look like absolutely terrible losers. It may be 4 more years of Trump, but that's all we'll have to make the best of, both sides. That's from Tim in Pittsford. He says, we sound like whining and crying losers if we go into a depression over the results as a country. What do you say to Tim, Melanie?
What? I understand where Tim is. At the same time, I believe many people see this as a statement of where we are. This is for many, many people in this right now in our country. This is about much more than the election of a president. This is a referendum of what we believe as a people. And what I believe, many people believe, the outcome of this election says, what do we believe in as the American people? And that is why people are feeling the way they're feeling. So that's why people are feeling so much angst and stress. And we cannot minimize that in any way.
Yeah, and I got to say, Tim, I mean, I appreciate the email, and I always appreciate hearing from listeners. I think that email really lacks empathy. I mean, just because people react with more emotion than you does not make them weak or bad or silly. People are going to take this differently, and people have invested different things in this, and different people are more vulnerable to different ideas, policies, or actions. So let's try to get out of our own skin just a little bit here. Let's try to show empathy as best we can. This is an important day for that. So here's what Rebecca writes, Melanie. Rebecca says, friendships should end. Rebecca says, my sympathies for Trump voters has evaporated after 4 years. Whatever sympathy I had tried to hold on to for their frustrations with being neglected or overlooked in national politics has long since dissolved. Just one example will do. Trump has made us all into kidnappers. My tax dollars helped to pay to take 545 children away from their parents. Anyone who still votes for him today after that is no friend of mine. That's from Rebecca saying friendships should end. What do you think, Mel?
I get it. For me, all right, my personal view is that we can agree to have a difference of opinion, but when we're talking about humanity, when the question becomes about the humanity of another human being, that's not about opinion. That's not an opinion. And we are having discussions about the humanity of people. So I agree. You know, we cannot debate who's human and who deserves the human kindness. That's not a debatable point. So, you know, I get it. You know, and if we're that far apart where we don't get to debate humanity. We just don't. There's some places where we need to draw lines in the sand, and for me, that's one of those places.
All right.
You know, because I love humans because they breathe. You know, I love all, and I try to love all people. And if you're trying to say that some people, you're saying that this is okay, that means these are not, you're seeing them as other, and you're seeing them as less than human, and you're seeing them as less than, you're saying that they're not worthy of compassion. And if we're saying that we are a quote unquote Christian nation, that's not what God said. So, no. Sorry. We can't agree there.
Steve in Henrietta says, "Hi, Evan. As a gay American, my rights are on the line, as so many people in other marginalized groups feel as well. I'm feeling cautiously optimistic that Americans will make a choice for democracy, kindness, unity, reason, and tolerance. Unlike 4 years ago, I feel calm today and full of equanimity. Fingers are crossed." Steve in Henrietta, the first email or contact from someone who says, "I feel fine. Feel pretty good today." Steve, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Listeners, we're talking about how everyone is sort of feeling, no matter your background, no matter who you voted for or will vote for later today. We're just talking about how you get through the next few hours and the next few days. And I just want to, before I get back to your phone calls, I want to clarify one point because some listeners were kind of giving me grief. I mentioned today on social media that I do hope no matter what side wins, the winning side can win with grace. And, you know, I mentioned try not to dance in the end zone. I don't mean don't dance. If you invest in an election and you care and your side wins, dance, party, sing, high five. Well, you know, safely, social distance high five, whatever you want to do. I think the difference I'm feeling is that there's almost a desire for schadenfreude, and generally speaking, schadenfreude is pretty destructive. I know it might feel good in a moment, but ultimately, as Melanie has been saying, I agree with our guest that just about no one's irredeemable or reachable, myself included. I'm sure I'm wrong on many things. I don't believe everything the same today that I did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So I hope that there's still space for bridges to be built, but I'm not saying don't party a little if your side wins, whatever side you're on. It's a lot of emotion that goes into this. You know, is there one overriding emotion, Melanie, that you will feel if the results go the way you want? Is it relief more than anything? Is it something else?
If the results go the way I want them to go, I think the overwhelming feeling is maybe relief, because what I understand is that no matter what the result is, more than likely the sun will rise tomorrow and we will still have hungry children. We will still have inequity. I will still have people who are in need of healing. I will still have work to do. I will get up, I will wash my face, I will brush my teeth, and I will get to work. And that, you know, I remember 4 years ago after the election, I got up and I had went to bed because I had a feeling of what was going to happen, so I went to bed early. I woke up, I saw the weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth, and I got on Facebook Live, and I basically said, okay, you get one day to act a fool, okay, and weep and wail and gnash your teeth, but then we have work to do. And tomorrow, no matter what happens, I'm going to get up, wash my face, brush my teeth, and I'm going to get to work. Because this is not the country. What we've got to understand is that this is a country of 350 million people. And the work of making this the country we want it to be is the work of 350 million people, not one man.
Let me get Dan in Greece on the phone next. Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
Hi, Evan. Dan Will from Our Community Bikes.
Hey, Dan.
Thank you for,
for
having Melanie on today. Evan, you're one of my favorite people, and Melanie is also one of my favorites. So I just felt I had to call in. My situation, the family situation, is kind of unique, I think. On my side of the family, my wife and I both come from large families. On my side of the family, for whatever reason, we are totally in support of Biden, and I have no idea why. And my wife, except for one of our adult children, and we don't know. We think maybe he was adopted, but we're not sure. On my wife's side, it's not so universal, to the point where we have not been able to speak about the situation with several of my wife's brothers and sisters. Makes it very difficult. But as far as how we're feeling today, I had two rather significant blow-ups this morning within 15 minutes, one with a client at the bike shop and one on the phone, over minor things. And I attribute that to this angst that's happening in our lives, and I don't know how we're going to feel until the thing is decided. So let's start there.
How about a nap, right? I mean, like, how long can we nap, Dan?
There's a limit to how much you can nap.
I know.
Is there really?
Dan, before I let you go, if there was one emotion that's sort of dominating your day, though, how do you describe it?
Well, it's angst. Mm-hmm. I'm confident, but I'm also skeptical because of what happened 4 years ago. I don't want that to happen again. I don't know what would happen again if we had to do this another 4 years. He's not going to change. So we're going to have to deal with it, and I just hope that doesn't come to pass.
Well, I take the point. I hope you can shift over to patience as best you can because, I don't think we're getting Pennsylvania's results for a few days, and that could be decisive. So it's going to be a while. Could be a while.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But thank you. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you for the two of you for doing this. You're such a great contributor to the community, both of you. I appreciate that. I can call you friends.
Oh, you are more than kind, sir. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Dan Lill. So, Mel, he's feeling angst. Is there a... Should everybody who's feeling angst just throw on the Hallmark Channel or nap a little bit? I think a nap's a good idea because a lot of us are going to kind of try to stay up late and watch results. But angst is a hard one because angst is an emotion that sort of makes you feel constantly on edge. Like you just can't settle down and get distracted. And it's hard to distract ourselves today, Mel.
You know, and it is. And, you know, but what I want people to understand is that the difference between now and 2016 is we've seen what it can be, right? We've seen it. So now we've seen this, so we know what it could be. We don't want it to be that, but we've seen it, right? So we can say, okay, we know what this can be. We know that we don't want that, but we know what that can be. So let's dial it back. Let's take some deep breaths. Let's breathe. Okay? And let's figure out what we can do to guard our peace. Because like I said a few minutes ago, no matter what happens, we will wake up in the morning. Hopefully the sun will be shining. And we will get up, wash our face, brush our teeth. And we will move about our day. You know, what I want people to understand is, you know, that we, who we are as people, our ability to see one another's humanity and our ability to continue to be able to see one another's humanity is paramount in this time. And that's where, and that's what we need to focus on, is to be able to see our own humanity and humanity in others.
Well, let's take our only break of the hour, and we'll come back to more of your phone calls and more of your emails as we talk about how everyone is working their way through their emotions today, handling the hours before the end of voting, the hours that will follow, and maybe the days that will follow. Hopefully not the months that will follow. But does anybody know what's coming next? We're all working through it together on Connections with Melanie Funches, who is our guest for the hour, and we're back to your feedback after a moment. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, we talk to some of the winners in local politics, the state level, federal level, right down to the local level. We'll talk people who ran and won. We'll talk to someone who ran and did not win. And we'll try to take stock of everything that's happening on the national level to get caught up on where things stand. A recap and a look ahead Wednesday on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. You know what I just decided I'm doing? I know what I'm doing today. So after Connections is over, I've got a few hours to relax. I thought about taking a nap, and then I'm going to be on the air with you tonight, I hope, listeners, on WXXI, if you happen to be out and about. NPR, of course, will have national coverage. We'll be jumping in from time to time on letting you know what's going on in around New York State races. But I'm going to make a good cocktail today. That's what I'm going to, just one. But I'm going to make a good cocktail today. Just one. This one. I love making a good cocktail. That's going to be the afternoon. And listeners, I'm open to your suggestions on that. Let me get a quick email from Tamika, and then we'll get back to your phone calls. Tamika says, hi, Evan. I just want to say that I was so excited to vote today. I even wore my Uncle Sam hat. I saw all kinds of people, and everyone had smiles on their faces. I don't think it's fair to say that because one person votes a certain way, they are then characteristic of all these opposing qualities. That's when relationships are ruined. You are not defined by your party or your vote. You are defined by your character. That's from Tamika. Melanie Funches, what do you think?
I agree on some levels, but on some levels, my thing is that people vote for people that feel that people vote for people are who mostly, like, we talk about the 80-20 rule, like, if this person has most of what I need, because it's not like dating, right? Mm-hmm. We want to have a partner for life. This is someone we think is going to get the job done that does the things that we need them to do, right? For, you know, and is going to uphold the things we want to make the world, our country, to be what we want it to be. And but there are certain basic things that if there are certain basic things for most people that are deal breakers, right? So if you agree with, you know, for me, if you agree with this point that is about human rights, those are deal breakers. Human rights things are deal breakers for me. So if you are against things that are around certain human rights, those are deal breakers. So if you vote for this, well, I'm not voting about that. I'm voting about this. But if you're saying that this is okay, if you're saying to not see my humanity is okay, I have a problem with that. You know, because that's just not okay. We have got to get to a place where we're okay with saying that certain things are not okay. And that's just that, and not saying that people are irredeemable again, but it's okay to say that certain things are not okay. You know, and that's what that is. I mean, I understand that people cannot be characterized by their vote, but if you're voting for the guy who hates me, and you know he said he hates me, what's that message that supposed to send to me?
Well, One more question along those lines, because if you're making this argument and you've got a family member who says, hey, do we have to talk about politics? We're family. Can't we just leave that aside? Family doesn't have to talk about that. Does family get a pass?
No. No, especially family. Because my thing is, your family relationships, you know, family doesn't get a pass. I mean, like, I've been in a number of conversations because guess what? You know, dysfunctional family holiday, Thanksgiving is coming, right? And we, you know, people say, well, we get to be polite. We just don't do that. There's certain things that, you know, we say that we want to have these conversations so that we can learn and grow. But we learn how to have these conversations in loving ways. It's not just having the conversation, it's how you have the conversation. Can we have these conversations in loving ways?
All right, let's get back to your phone calls. This is Mariana in Pittsburgh next. Go ahead, Mariana.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Oh, groovy. I'm from the 60s. Thank you, Evan, for all your service. And thank you, Melanie and Taylor. I was in a biracial, now they say, relationship back in the 70s, and we made the best of it. But, you know, we had great leaders. You know, I marched with Dr. King and Dr. Benjamin Spock and all of that as a college student. So, anyway, I love that recommendation to not watch TV. I watch British TV, so I watch Father Brown and Mysteries from Australia, England, and enjoy seeing the scenery from the countryside of other countries. And I would recommend following a healing practice, a spiritual path, being out in the park. When I get up in the morning, I have to get up for an early doctor telehealth call and then get my girlfriend and meet our dear Republican friend in Batavia for lunch at the DNR restaurant, which is really cool, all about railroad stuff and great French onion soup. So I met my Republican friend in a Reiki healing circle. So my friends from meditation groups and healing circles that are Republican, I love them without labels and categories. And if I could have a friend from every country in the world, I would love that. I would learn all about the customs and the foods and the music and the dance. And, you know, I'm a global citizen. And so I really feel that God is in charge and that intelligent Republicans will do the work that they want to do. And intelligent, compassionate Democrats also will do the work, and independents. And, you know, I really wish we had a president for Mother Earth, you know, green, but that didn't come to be. So anyway, I might be out in the park talking to a tree or something.
That's beautiful, Marianne. I appreciate that. Melanie Funches, whether you're out in the park talking to a tree, as Marianne says, or engaging with some spirituality, even for some sort of proud skeptics like me, it seems like today's a really good day to have a faith or a mantra or a set of ideas that you can really engage with that might bring some peace or sort of some serenity, I guess. What do you think, Mel?
Absolutely. For people who know I'm a preacher's kid. So it's, yes, having a spiritual practice, a faith tradition that you can practice today. Something I was going to say to you, Evan, is that you have one of the most healing vessels in your home. You have a child. Go play with blocks. Play with Legos. Don't step on the Legos, because that takes.
Oh, that's the worst.
But my thing is that one of the best things I've ever learned, I've been ever able to see to do was to play with kids. You know, it's so healing and restorative. I mean, for real though. You know, and kids will remind us of what it's really all about. You know, and they love us for no good reason. and they remind us of what's really important. And if you want to take the time and, you know, play some make-believe games with kids. It's a really great thing to do today.
I love it. Before I grab Drew and Rochester on the phone and get some more of your emails, I just, on the subject of kids, I do think that that's another layer of emotion for a lot of Americans today, Mel, is, I'm not speaking about any one political race, but I can say that there are moments where I think if X occurs, how do I explain this to my son who's 8? Like, how do we talk about this? And we do talk about this. We talk about everything. But that's a source of a lot of emotion for parents who are going, boy, like, what are we doing here? And how do we look at our kids and say, this is what we did? You know, that can be tough too, Mel.
It absolutely can. And, you know, you talk to your kids, you tell your children the truth. You know, we tell our children the truth and we explain to them, you know, what we try to do. And all that we as parents try to do is do all that we can in all the ways that we can to leave our earth better than we found it. We don't win all the time, but even if we lose, we go down swinging, you know, and in the whole arc of life, most of the time when you see it over the whole thing, we win, you know, good triumphs. When you look at it over the large thing, we may lose little battles along the way, but when you look at the whole thing, good wins. And when we, and this is what I explain to my children, and my children are young adults now, and they have had enough time to watch this take place, to see this happen. And so, you know, that's what I do. And I tell, and my children will tell you, my young adult offspring will tell you, that we tell them the truth, the unvarnished truth, but we tell it to them in love, and we show them a complete picture.
All right, Drew in Rochester on the phone next. Go ahead, Drew.
Hi, Evan. Hi, Melanie. I just want to say to Melanie, and I know she's been doing this for a long time, but some things are better left unsaid at the dinner table, especially around the holidays, because there's always that loudmouth person in the family who knows everything, who's opinionated, and is going to loud talk everyone. So sometimes you can't have a loving conversation with people about certain political situations.
That's true. And sometimes you have to know when to hold them, know when to fold them,
right.
Know when to walk
exactly.
away, know when to run.
Exactly. Right. Right. I'm done. That's all I wanted to hear you say. Go ahead.
You know, and the thing is, but what I'm saying is, what I'm telling people is that we need to have truthful conversations.
True.
When it comes, if the thing comes, don't let Uncle Larry sit up there and tell that lie. Right?
Well, you let Uncle Larry tell the lie out of respect. But you let Uncle Larry tell the lie out of respect because it might be a big age difference. You know what I'm saying? So out of respect for your mother's brother, you let him tell the lie and then you smile and walk away. I mean, I know it's wrong, but that's what people do.
I know what people do, and coming from that tradition, I have said, and I've done this, and my mother, God bless her soul, she knew I would do, and she knew I would do it. I was like, with all due respect, Uncle Larry, my experience, such that it is, what I have seen to happen is, and I will say what I think, and inevitably, Auntie Strawberry,
mm-hmm.
Uncle Larry's age, to say, tell him, baby, that's not what it is, right? And so she's
right.
an elder too, right?
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
so, but the thing is that we've got to because what happens is the children are always watching. What we've got to remember is the children are always watching.
That's true.
And so we cannot let lies stand because the children don't know what we know. They
right.
just know what they hear. And so
right.
we can't let it stand.
Right.
And I'm done with that. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks,
okay?
guys.
All right.
That's good, good okay. stuff, Drew. Great point. And listen, on that point, I will say it can be frustrating when there's someone in the family who knows everything, doesn't want to hear anybody else's thoughts, and is going to tell you how it is. I think of Holly Hunter's character in the movie Broadcast News, where I forget the scene, but someone says to her, you know, boy, it must be so tough when you're the one who knows everything. And she says, no, it's awful. You know what I mean? Like, you got to give yourself a little room most of the time on many issues to say, listen, I want to talk about this, and I'm open to being wrong, and I'm open to hearing you. I want to understand how you feel, and I want to understand why. And I want you to understand how I feel, and I want you to understand why I feel that way. And if you can move me, I'll move. Now, I understand, to Mel's point, there are certain things just about accepting basic humanity. And to Taylor's phone call earlier, there's lines that are drawn, and I get that. I get why lines are drawn in many families right now and in friendships. I'm also hopeful that that we can try to approach these conversations, whether it's today, tomorrow, or in the months to come, with as much humility as possible, because that can be really hard. A couple more comments from listeners. Guy says, Evan, the reality we are in was created by the tenor of the past 4 years, our current situation, and the unknowns of the future. The effects it has had on personal relationships cannot be as simple as saying, can't we all just get along? These are deeply seated forces that will only work themselves out with the changes that either reinforce togetherness or division. And we cannot magically avoid the time and process that will require this by singing Kumbaya. There's just too much at stake here. That's from Guy. Yeah, I get that. I mean, I get it, Guy. I understand that. I understand why some people are feeling like this is not just the time to say, hey, can't we all just get along?
That ship has sailed.
Yeah, but I remain hopeful, though, that we can still find a way to keep communicating through it. Because when we give up entirely on communication, then there's really no going back. And I don't know what that future looks like. And that makes me also very, very nervous.
Evan, yeah. But what I'm hearing and what Guy is saying and yeah. what is important is what I hear and what Guy is saying is that there is work involved. And we have to be committed to doing the work of talking and work of coming together and really hearing each other and hashing this stuff out and coming to understanding and learning and growing together.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Mel, I'm really glad you make that point, because I'm really glad this came up. I think sometimes we get this is particular election is not a really good example, because I think of everything that's certainly at stake and what is sort of represented. But we get so tied to single elections, whether it's for president or Congress or Senate or local races, that we seem to think that whatever happens on election day is either time to party or be down in the dumps, as opposed to saying, okay, there's a result now, but we've got a lot of work to do. I mean, if Joe Biden wins, there's plenty of Democrats who are going, okay, the work starts tomorrow with trying to support him on certain things, move him on certain things. And there's a lot of dissent on the left. We talk about things as if it's monolithic, especially the political left in this country. There's a huge spectrum. And so while there may be relief, there's a lot of work that has to happen. And I do think, Mel, sometimes we invest so much into thinking election night's it and it's over on election night, when really it often starts again on election night. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think that's where we fall down many times, is that we get to the place that we think is the end when it's actually just the beginning, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, we run, but we're just running to the real start line. Nope. You know, this is where the real work begins.
Yeah, no question about it. And if you don't want to, listeners, if you don't want to see Donald Trump wins, and he wins, fair and square, then there's a lot of work that has to be done there, too. So there's a lot of work, no matter who you are, no matter who you vote for, and no matter what the election result is. Tonight is not the end. It's just the end of when people vote. Michael says, I've been unfriended by 2 cousins and 3 friends because they care more about Trump, and if I'm voting for Trump, then our relationship. I hear that, Michael. I mean, I know there's a lot of tension and emotion, and I'm sorry to hear that you're dealing with that, too. There's a lot of people in that spot. And before I ask for Mel's final thoughts, I will thank listeners. I've already got 3 drink recommendations. I got a really good recommendation for a dirty martini with 3 olives. A listener says, Evan, you need your veggies tonight. So dirty martini with three olives. That's pretty good. I did not know what death in the afternoon was, but it's as much absinthe as you need, topped with champagne. Sounds good. Or classic old fashioned. That one was tossed at me. That's all pretty good. I appreciate it, listeners.
That old fashioned.
There you go. I appreciate all of the listeners coming in together and having a conversation. And I'm going to give Melanie the last 30 seconds as we head for the evening hours that feel sort of so hard to predict. Melanie, some final thoughts from you.
Understand that no matter what your political affiliation, understand that you are not alone, that you are cared for, that you have people who care for you, that this is just the beginning, that you will wake up tomorrow, you will wash your face, we will continue on, and that there is work to do tomorrow, but the fact is that we will see the humanity of one another, and that's where we go from here.
Melanie Funchess, much love to you. Thank you so much for the wise thoughts and kind words from you today. It's been great having you this hour. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Melanie Funchess has been our guest, the Director of Community Engagement and Family Support at the Mental Health Association of Rochester, a member of the Greater Rochester Black Agenda Group, and founder of the Black Healers Network. Rob Braden is the engineer. Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson, and no matter how you voted, you ain't changing that. We're here tomorrow, but you can hear us tonight. I think after 9, sometime, here and there. NPR, of course, with national coverage, will be here with you no matter what happens and when we know. Be patient, be calm, hope you're surrounded by love, whoever you voted for and wherever you are, and we will talk soon.